Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. The use of prescribed psychotropic medications at Pennsylvania's state-operated juvenile correctional facilities comes under scrutiny in a new report by Public Source. It's an investigative journalism website focusing on the Keystone State. Joining me with a closer look is Hallie Stockton, Public Source Managing Editor and author of the study questioning whether chronic and violent juvenile offenders in Pennsylvania are drugged into behaving. Hallie, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks, Dave.
Let's note that most youth offenders in Pennsylvania are in private facilities, but the report calls these offenders in state facilities the toughest kids in the juvenile justice system. What commonalities define them?
So these are the kids who have been in juvenile court time and time again. They're committing often assaults, things that are these types of crimes that are really affecting other people, robberies and thefts, as well as gun and drug crimes. They have probably already been in other programs, community programs, counseling, where they're staying near their families and communities, but those haven't worked. And now they're at the point where those private programs can refuse these kids, but the state facilities cannot, and it's kind of that end of the line.
And apparently some 50 to 75% of them have a diagnosable psychiatric disorder.
That's a general estimate. 50 to 75% of justice-involved youth in the U.S. Are estimated to have a diagnosable psychiatric disorder. But it's important to note that if you have a psychiatric disorder, that doesn't necessarily mean it needs a medication, and certainly not an antipsychotic, which are among the most powerful and risky medications on the market.
So how is the determination made whether an individual can benefit from and should be prescribed a psychotropic medication?
Well, that's left up to the doctors. That's going to be a decision that a psychiatrist would make after meeting and assessing a child, or mostly teenagers in this case. So they'll, you know, look at what the history of treatment a child or youth has received, and then make that decision. The concern here among experts, among many child and adolescent psychiatrists I spoke to, as well as judges, is that these meds are being used off-label. So instead, antipsychotics are supposed to be used for schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and very severe irritability with autism. Instead, experts are concerned these are being used to induce sleep or calm a child, reduce anxiety and aggression.
So sedation and behavioral control.
Yeah.
Though let's note that doctors across the spectrum do have leeway to prescribe medications for off-label use, but your article cites the problem specific for teenagers is that they can come with a bevy of side effects.
They can. The U.S. Supreme Court even recognized that that youth of this age, teenagers, are developing. Their brains and bodies are still forming. And so when you inject these kinds of medications into their small frames, you're opening them up to so many health risks, including rapid weight gain. Some studies show that a teen can gain 10 to 20 pounds in a matter of 3 months. That can open them up to diabetes, to high cholesterol, things that will haunt them really for the rest of their lives and could even shorten their lives.
In that context, then, how prolific is the use of this kind of medication?
Antipsychotics specifically, in our study, we found that over a time period of 7 years, that one third of the youth could have been treated. Whenever you drop in the facility, in any of these facilities, that one third of these juvenile offenders could be prescribed these antipsychotics. And those are the most severe ones, the most risky meds. That's not even including the antidepressants and mood stabilizers that were also fairly prevalent.
So to what extent does the Department of Human Services explain the range of therapeutic interventions for offenders, including prescribing psychotropic drugs?
The Department of Human Services was extremely reluctant to talk to us about this issue. We went through sometimes months of back and forth before we could get an answer from them. Everything was vetted by their legal department. Everything came through email. In the end, when confronted with our findings, they kind of hung their hat on that estimate we already talked about, that 50 to 75% could have a mental health disorder. In fact, they even said that they're paying a lot of attention to this, especially for foster care youth, and that they're taking steps to address it in that realm, and that kids in the juvenile justice system are not encountering the same issues. Our data and the data that they provided us really says otherwise.
Public source, by definition, focusing primarily on the Keystone State, but were you able to assess Pennsylvania relative to other neighboring or other states across the country and their use?
We were to a certain extent. It's fairly impossible to do that because there's been no thorough examination of psychotropic drug use among juvenile delinquents. Foster care youth are much more focused on in the nation. One thing we did notice in our upcoming story airing or showing Wednesday will address what other states have done. Florida has been monitoring psychotropic drug use in their juvenile detention facilities for years now. They're leaders in tracking and controlling prescribing. Colorado just this summer hired a medical director to oversee the treatment of the kids, not only in foster care, but also in their juvenile delinquent facilities, because they recognize that there's a lot of overlap with these children and that this is an important issue in both areas.
And so I understand your follow-up report will be on the oversight or lack thereof of psychiatric meds for youth offenders.
Right. The Department of Human Services is not, even with this small public system, they haven't made the effort to look at it on a system-wide basis. And our experts are telling us that that's reducing their ability to see patterns and to plan effective programs to serve this population.
Juvenile offenders typically stay at these state facilities for less than a year, a period of months. Is that correct?
Yeah. From what we saw, the average was 7 to 8 months.
And upon departure, are they leaving with these prescriptions, or is it only for the duration of their stay?
We're told that there is some aftercare transition plan in place. How extensive that is and how long it lasts, that's hasn't been answered by the state. We do know that the Mental Health Association in Pennsylvania sends advocates into these facilities while they are in the facilities, and they are now discussing if they are able to put together a program that will address their care once they get out of the facilities.
How many juveniles are handled in these facilities?
They can handle up to 370 now with the five facilities. We do know that as of September 30th that there were about 270 teenagers in there. And the state gave us a one-day manual calculation because, like I said, they do not have a system-wide monitoring system. They went around and counted and found out that 44% of the kids who are in there currently are on psychotropic medications.
It's certainly disturbing to even consider that these offenders are drugged into behaving. At this juncture in your look at this situation, is it your hunch that that could be the case?
It's not my hunch. It's the hunch of child and adolescent psychiatrists who are leaders in this topic, in this research nationwide. It's not really a hunch when a judge tells you that she has never once sent a child with schizophrenia or autism to one of these facilities and knows that antipsychotics are being used off-label because they can't be being used for their approved uses.
Which judge told you that?
That was an Allegheny County judge, Judge Catherine M. Hens Greco.
Hallie Stockton, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Hallie Stockton is Public Source Managing Editor.